Although the words gay, straight, and bi are useful terms for men to embrace their sexual orientation, they don't always do a good job of describing the reality of the kind of sex that all men have.
At times, some guys find themselves having sex with other men, not because they are in denial, but because they are attracted to the speed, taboo, and the thrill of two guys getting it on.
Today, we take a look at why straight men from time to time get jiggy with another guy.
Can you really seduce a straight man? And if so, how much beer do you have to bring to the party to make it happen?
Plus, you don't need to get Zachary Quinto drunk. The Zachmeister is happy that all the Star Trek fans have said live long and prosper for his coming out as gay. But does he think the sci-fi franchise is ready for a gay character?
Lesbian skeletons locked in embrace for all eternity.
Do not follow the Megan Mullally diet. She's been shilling junk food for 30 years.
And Matt Bomer has a hard time wearing a thong. But just how hard?
Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is the Sexy Feast of Fun. How long do we have to be purple?
I think the purpleness is over.
Yay! I supported LGBT youth in most of my social media.
Right. I changed my shirt color to purple digitally, and then we changed the banner on Feast of Fun to purple.
Yes, and today I had purple cocktails. Mm. Oh, and my poop came up purple too.
Oh.
Hey, listen, are you for them or against them?
Well, I'm not against for... Purple,
eat so. Purple things eat and purple. You will be purple
Did
throughout.
I eat anything purple today? I don't think I ate anything that was purple.
I had some grapes.
Are they really purple? When you draw them, they're purple.
Purple,
but normally
yes.
They're kind of blue or red or black or...
Everyone's like, some people don't understand why we all change our Facebook, our social media icons and profiles and websites to purple yesterday.
Well, it was the second annual Spirit Day to remember the spirit of... gay youth.
Oh, I thought it was them. A religious thing when I heard no. People's spirit day.
No.
The spirit... Listen, I have to say that all the LGBT youth that I mostly interact with, like, guys and girls and trans-identified folks in their teenage years that comment on the site or write us emails, they're so inspiring. I know that sometimes we focus so much on people's struggle and negativity and teen suicide, but for the most part... As those lesbian movies say, the kids are all right.
Yeah, there's a whole new generation coming up that are just like, yeah, you know what? Gay really is good, and it's fantastic, and there's opportunities, and I'm seeing actors come out in Hollywood. I'm seeing gay people in positions of authority. It's fabulous.
And they have a sense of fucking humor. Can I get an amen around here?
Amen.
Woo, honey. Ah. We are living in the good times. These are the good old days. I like that expression.
Yeah, I think things are pretty good. They just toppled a dictator today.
Can you please stop playing footage of Muammar Gaddafi getting killed? His dead body on the evening news? It's like, since when did CNN turn into a snuff film?
Oh, well, it's like Univision. Univision likes to show that kind of stuff.
The Latin news,
yes.
Yeah.
They're like, if there's a dead body, man, they're just like, what did it die from? It's like a CSI episode. They get so up close and personal.
And if anybody like shines flashlights up in the night sky, they're like, there were possible UFOs in Mexico City today. Mm. And, never. And there's like, if a celebrity falls into the mud or something, that's the evening news. I don't know if Anderson Cooper's there yet, but, they haven't sunk into Feast of Fun levels.
I only saw like the Muammar Gaddafi thing for like a split second. But I did see him like them like tossing him around and his face is all bloody. And then it looked like they were going to pin him to the front of the truck or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is so weird because it's kind of like the exact opposite of Osama bin Laden, because Osama bin Laden, they're just like, he's dead. You will not see a body.
It is totally. I was thinking about that the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, aren't people going to turn him into a martyr because now they saw his body? And then why didn't we see Osama bin Laden's body if this double standard of we can see this footage but not the other footage?
Well, I think because the Americans weren't in charge of really getting rid of Muammar Gaddafi. And Obama came out today and he's just like, you guys have won your revolution. Hallelujah.
And also defined the future of sort of foreign relationships in the United States, saying, if the world wants to get rid of somebody, we'll help. But we're not going to lead the charge necessarily.
Yes. You got to take some of the onus on yourself.
I thought that was a very healthy and progressive way of looking at the world.
And you know what's so crazy is, like, there's a lot of those warmongering Republicans out there that just can't wait to throw a war around. It's one of Republicans president, but now the Democrats are like, he might have gone a little too far there. I'm like, yes, he went a little too far helping to remove this horrible dictator.
Isn't it interesting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that some politicians just say whatever is the opposite of whatever is being said.
Well, and they just have to say something to denounce whoever.
They're like, I am concerned that peace and prosperity will now be happening somewhere.
Rush Limbaugh was complaining about how John McCain praised the president and said, President Obama deserves the credit for this because he helped this happen. He did. And then he said, I don't know why John McCain is betraying his party and he's kissing the ass of his president and why he would even want to kiss the ass of his president because it's not a big ass. Maybe he should be kissing Michelle Obama's big ass. Like, he's like,
oh my God, what a horrible person. Give him some more Oxycontin.
Oh my God, I know. I guess he hasn't seen that picture of Obama doing that Scarlett Johansson.
It's not a picture, it's a drawing, it's a painting.
Oh, I thought it was his, and he did one of those Instamatic things from Facebook on it, or from
he ran a Photoshop filter to make it look like a painting, is what you're saying. No, I'm just kidding.
So it's Obama looking in the mirror taking a picture, and then behind him it's you see his ass in the mirror, and it's a full bottom bootay.
I'm looking at the president in the mirror. I'm saying that I have a nice ass, and no president can be any sexier. If you like the way I look naked, then you're gonna have to imagine it, cause I'm not posting any pictures of me naked on the internet. Na 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 na. You know who I'm actually
I blame Rosie's opening act where she always has to do a number on you. I do. I blame you for that.
Rosie's show is getting better.
Except for that song in the beginning, where she comes out and does some kind of crazy song. I'm like, Fausto, that's your fault.
I was like a gay talk show host in our own backyard with Oprah's power and money behind her. How awesome is that? And then the season premiere, the first show of Rosie came out, and I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be hot hell. And actually, the show's getting better.
It is getting better.
It gets better, Rosie. See, even for Rosie.
Your first week was bad.
But now it's better. Why is it getting better?
Well, I think she's more comfortable in her skin. I think she's at home. It's like anything. Anytime you take any kind of project, the first day you do it, it's not going to be as wonderful as like when it's a fine-honed instrument. You know, you work at it. It's a process.
Maybe they should have taped like 2 weeks worth of shows and just thrown them away or made them into webisodes or something and then started like in the middle. You know, that's what Ernest Hemingway said about writing.
What did he say?
He said, take your novel and the first 30 pages, throw them away and start your story at the beginning. And that way you land running, you know. And today, I guess we should start landing running, even though we've been talking about all sorts of things for the last 9 minutes. But today's show is about straight men and how to get laid with them. How to bag a man who doesn't want to have sex with you. First of all, I want to put a disclaimer. Right. Having sex with somebody who does not want to have sex with you is miserable for everybody. And you should probably question why you're wanting to have sex with somebody who's not attracted to you. Because that's a little rapey.
Well, it's just, you know, sometimes there's one person is more into it than another. And especially if you throw like another person in the mix. So like, say there's three people, one of them might be more into it or not as into it as the other two. Or if you have four people, maybe this guy's into it. And the other three are like, well, I might as well just go along with it.
Have you been in a situation where like, you know, you were really hot for somebody and they were just like not giving you the time of day? But then all of a sudden, it's because you're married to me, but you were like, all of a sudden the clothes came off because it was like the end of the party or something. And suddenly everybody was having a good time. People started having sex with each other because they were just horny and they were there.
Not really like that, I suppose. No.
Yeah. And so I've been in situations where, you know, cause I'm a little persuasive sometimes and I'm guilty of that. And it's like, and I've been with somebody and it's just like, and you're just like in the middle of having sex with them and you're like going, why are we both here? You're obviously not into this and you're just desperate or lonely or tired or angry or something, and you're fucking the pain away instead of like genuinely interested in having sex with this person in front of you. And so
I don't know. I can't speak to that. Usually most of the people I'm in bed with are enthused about it.
They're
they're usually pretty damn excited to be there.
I've seen some evidence to the contrary of that.
Well, that might be personal information.
Yeah. But so anyways, today's show is about straight men and the studies that have been sort of like, I don't know why we're talking about this, but I was reading this blog entry on QWERTY.
Mm-hmm. Which they recycled probably from some old material they had.
That like from 5 years ago. But I thought it was a really interesting discussion on the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, had done a study to try to examine and understand the sexual behavior of men in general, mm-hmm. because they find that some sexually transmitted diseases get spread through heterosexual contact, and then others get spread through same-sex or homosexual contact.
And one of the things that they did find is that 10% of men who identify as straight say that they do have same-sex relationships from time to time, you know, which I thought was, you know, so what is it? It's probably 10% of guys are gay. Another 10% kind of do it every now and then. So that's like 20%. You know, every 2 out of 10 guys, you got a chance.
Well, Kinsey literally interviewed thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of people, and he discovered that it was a beautiful bell curve. Mm-hmm. It was almost like human sexuality had a boner in the middle, like a tent in your pants.
It went right up.
And so most people, sex lives, the reality of their sex lives is that it's a mixture of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like interviewing these guys and say, well, why did you have that sex with that guy? And so here we put together the list of why they did it. So why straight men, straight identified men who most of their lives have had sex with women, are in a relationship with women, or they're single but they're looking for sex with other women, why do they have gay sex, mm-hmm. sex with another guy? And here's the list. It was easy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It didn't require any social skills.
Mm-hmm.
They were reenacting, this is a negative one, reenacting past sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
They were being paid to do so.
Ooh.
The money turned uh-huh. them on. This is an interesting one.
Because money is a powerful aphrodisiac.
We've observed this in some of our friends and guests on the show. Attention is a turn on.
Mm-hmm.
That just being flattered mm-hmm. and getting attention from another guy is such a turn on, because usually the girlfriend is going to be like, why don't you now? Why are you working out so much? Why?
When they're thinking about the sex, they're not actually thinking about, like, this guy, I'm looking at this guy, he's turning me on, I'm turned on because somebody's paying attention to me, and so that turns my body on.
Exactly.
So he's just like, do whatever it is you want to me.
And you know, sometimes when they're there with the girl, like, a gay guy's never going to complain that his boyfriend's working out too much.
Mm.
Whereas some women do, like, you're in the gym all the time, you don't need to have six-pack abs, mm-hmm. I like you just the way you are. And the guy's like, okay, baby. You know?
I think straight men are like, you know, Vulcans on Star Trek. They go through this period of like Ponfar every 7 years. They just get so uncontrollably horny that they'll do anything, you know? And it's like, if you can get a guy, you know, who's straight, and you get him when he's really horny, I mean, his logic just shuts off. I mean, he'll do anything.
It would be illogical not to have sex with another man.
And as long as like nobody else is like weighing him down, he'll go for it.
You know, and the last but not least is the they like the anal, but they don't care who it is, and usually their girlfriend's not going to put out.
Mm.
So if they want to give or receive,
yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so regardless of whether they like to give or receive, the girlfriend's like, oh, there's poop all over that.
So I imagine if it's just about the anal, then that they probably in their mind they kind of totally disassociate the body attached to it. So it's just about like that anus.
So ladies, if you want to keep your man from, you know, having that sweet prison loving, mm-hmm. you got to give up the anal. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, from the listeners here, the women that listen to the show. I mean, do you ever like fantasize or imagine that your boyfriend, husband is like is interested, even though he says he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are that there at a certain point in your relationship, he's going to have feelings or attraction for another guy.
Because he'll be so horny and you won't be around there. He's like, I have to do this or I'll explode.
And you got
to
forgive him. You know, if anything I can say to people out there,
mm-hmm.
forgive yourselves. I'm letting you off the hook. If mm-hmm. my permission has any, and my voice has any meaning in your life, I'm letting you off the hook of calling yourself a slut or a bad person just because you had the sex you wanted to have. Mm-hmm. Just because you put yourself in a dangerous situation because you were sexually compulsive. Forgive yourself. Oh, we're actually taping the show with one of our listeners in the home studio. Hey.
Hey, Gabe, you have something you want to add?
Hey, you.
I was just going
to... Oh, we're going to turn on your microphone here. What?
I think a lot of Japanese women are into that.
Anal?
No.
Benoit balls.
No, they're turned on by guys who like guys. Like, I think it's a whole...
Oh, because you're looking at their anime?
And fanfic and all that.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to do a shout out to some of our female listeners that you know, have
Tanya.
Let... Don't say their names. Oh. Because they may not be comfortable or out of that, but they sexually fantasize about men mm-hmm. with other guys. Like, that turns them off.
Well, Tanya writes a blog, so I mean,
oh, she does. Okay,
so she loves her. She's the one that wrote that slash fiction for us, where the boys from Supernatural, the Wincest, they were having sex while they were listening to the podcast.
Well, and then there's Rei Sato, mm-hmm. who draws all this gorgeous anime inspired. Sort of almost, I wouldn't say gay porn, but it's very erotic, these drawings.
I don't think
she
does penises. Does she do penises?
And I haven't seen her do any
Rei,
nudity.
Rei, send us some cock shots, baby.
cock drawings.
Cock drawings.
But, you know, so I guess this is an interesting situation because a lot of gay men from, because I read a lot of like just stories and ideas just to try to get into the mind of our audience mm-hmm. somehow. And, you know, there's men who get turned off when they know that another guy is gay.
Well, I think it's, you know what it is? I think that's when fear comes into play.
Sure.
Or I'm not good enough. When you know somebody's straight, you're kind of hot for him because, like, I can be as hot for this guy as I want because nothing's going to have to happen. Whereas, like, if the guy's gay, it's like, now you're really facing, like, a true rejection or performance anxiety.
Oh, because he knows what to expect from you. Whereas a straight man's like, dude, this is the first time I've gotten a blowjob that's halfway decent. And listen, there's some women out there that could teach gay men a thing or two mm-hmm. about giving a blowjob. So, you know.
I don't think so. I think men probably give better blowjobs.
Well, but I'm saying that there's exceptions to the rule. Sure. There's some guys who are all toothy and there's some girls who are all toothy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want people to be, I want them off the hook. You know, I also read on Queerty and some
you
other
want
blogs.
Them hung up?
What?
You want them to get rid of their hangups?
Well, I just there's so much sadness and anxiety and self-flagellation about it's like people writing blog entries like you are a bigot because on your online profile you said, you know, no this, no that, no blacks, no Asians, no Latinos, no whites, only fat, only muscular, only this. And, you know, that because you're attracted to a single body type and race, you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. And it's like that may be a symptom of prejudice and bigotry, but that's not the way to fight bigotry and prejudice. It's just to in the bedroom, you know, mm-hmm. you want to fight it because maybe that person just doesn't have an experience or an interaction with people that are not like them. Or maybe they fetishize that particular race or body type because of some experience they have mm-hmm. had. And if you really want people to have a broader sexual attraction or broader sexual experience, you don't do it by shaming them into thinking they're bad people because of what they want or have done.
Well, it's one of those things out there, though, too, is like if you want something... What you want is what you should put out there. Don't put out there what you don't want. You know?
Be asset driven.
Exactly.
So if you're interested in somebody who looks like a llama or that guy from Twilight that looks like a llama. What's his name? He's Native American.
Jacob.
But mm-hmm. what's the actor who plays him?
I forget what his name
is. I'm blacking out on the character from the... Who the hell is
this? Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner. If you're turned on by Taylor Lautner or llamas mm-hmm. or guys who look like llamas,
speaking of werewolves, my favorite, one of my favorite TV shows, Vampire Diaries. I only caught the end of it at the gym, but my favorite guy is back. The one who was supposedly dating Lady Gaga.
I think that's why they hired him again. It's for the viral, heat.
Feast of Fun wants him back. Yes.
You demanded that he be hired again. And well, listen, the producers mm-hmm. of the show know who we are. Mm-hmm. They listen to the program and your opinion matters to them because you're an educated, loving, diehard fan of the show.
I'm one of the, what they call like a thought leader.
You're a thought influencer.
Yes, I'm an influencer on the internet. Do they still use that influencer term for the internet?
I don't know what the term is. There's a site. Let's see what your clout score is. Oh, boy. I don't even dare mention
it. I'm not
going to
look at my clout score. They don't measure the podcast.
They don't measure the podcast, which is kind of
they
this.
They don't this measure my pointing. Webcam show.
But my clout score was actually really high.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, people say that, that I'm a content creator and thought influencer.
Mm.
And you know one thing, the interesting thing that they said I influence people on? You're going to laugh. Fashion.
Get the fuck out.
I think that's basically clout's
definition.
You have the worst
fashion ever.
I have a very educated eye. I may not necessarily wear these clothes. Mm-hmm. I'm like Michael Kors.
Mm-hmm.
I may look like a piece of shit, but I know what something looks good or when it doesn't.
That's true.
I may be burnt orange. Mm-hmm. Even he has a sense of humor about
himself.
You know
what it is? They're probably like, oh, Oscar dresses from the blog or something like that. And they're like, dude, that's what it comes from.
Well, maybe, because I do write a lot about fashion and weird stuff, you know, and it's like most recently today, I found this fabulous infographic comparing Lady Gaga and Madonna's fashion through the years, claiming who really is crazier and more intense.
Who won?
I think Lady Gaga wins still. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who inventively takes Kermit the Frog dolls and turns that into a jacket, I think... is a lifetime award winner.
Madonna's cone bra, I mean, she wore that for like a couple of years. And then when she took it off, like, look, she reinvented herself.
You're like, she took off her underwear and then she put it back on.
She reinvented herself.
Well, Madonna did a lot of unusual, extreme fashion things. But, you know, the cone bra wasn't even her. It was like, was it Versace or
Gautier?
Gautier who designed it. So it was like, and you know, a lot of Lady Gaga's designs are from other designers, a lot of her stuff is actually designed by her.
Really?
Yeah. She like comes up with the idea. She's like, she's drunk and says, make me a jacket from Kermit the Frog dolls or make a dress out of bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of bubbles. Oh, I like this toy that gyroscope toy that's spinning around. Make a dress out of that. It's like every idea she has can be described as if someone was drunk at a party. Mm-hmm. And about to vomit, but came up with a brainstorming session.
I saw somebody, they're trying to market some kind of like egg pods for pets. And I'm just like, what? So it's like a bed for your pet, but it's like in the shape of like an egg.
And I think like, we all should be sleeping in Lady Gaga's egg every night and emerge like alien monsters, hungry for the sex.
Some dude ordered a pair of slippers, and he lived in the UK. He ordered a pair of these monster slippers from China. Right. And so he has like his feet are different sizes. So he did it in like centimeters or whatever. And he's like, one of the shoes is like normal size. The other one he wanted, it was like 14.5 centimeters.
Yeah.
But so they misinterpreted it. So he ended up getting one shoe that was like a regular size, like size 10 or whatever it was. And then the other shoe was the size of like a bed. That they sent him this kind of, and you could just like literally sleep in this giant monster paw.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, it was so cute. I was like, I want a bed like that.
In the shape of a giant shoe.
It was like a slipper more than anything.
Oh.
And it was like a bear paw.
And then like, you can get some champagne.
Because it was like you already had a blanket attached to it and everything.
You would look good in a bed shaped like a bear or something, like or bear paw bed. But let's go back to talking about straight men. And because all my friends at the gym, most of them are straight men or straight identifying men.
Yes.
And it's part of it is kind of like there's this kind of like nonverbal relationship where, I mean, some of these guys are gorgeous and they get so friendly with me. I think they're coming on to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Like, I'm happy with it. And part of it is like, I don't know if they're like, they think that's what I want from them. And so in order to please me, they're trying to be touchy-feely and sweet with
me. Or maybe they're just being regular guys. And that's how regular guys act.
Maybe.
You know, I think for a lot of times it's straight guys can be very, you know, intimate in some ways. Hug each other, you know, talk about things in a very intimate level.
Well, you've worked in restaurants, which is kind of like, sort of like being in prison.
It is like being in prison sometimes. And but you and you have that tightness, that bond sometimes, because you're really in the trenches sometimes. Dealing with the public like that on that yeah. kind of level is like, you know, it's hard. But, you know, all the straight guys, they say stuff to each other that's gayer than anything a gay guy person would say. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact because they're not really serious. They don't mean it seriously. Like if I said some sexually explicit things to like some gay guys,
they'd be like our guest here, Gabe. Yes,
if I said that kind of stuff, he'd be like, he must be serious.
Well, and it becomes kind of a threat when they know that you're actually mm-hmm. going to carry it through.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't necessarily want to have sex with you, it gets pedo bear or rapey, you know. I think you're a tad rapey today. That's a terrible thing to say to somebody. Yeah. But sometimes, it's like, look, if you're, you know, there's nothing more miserable. And this is why I have a, you know, I'm all in support of people who are sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there's nothing more miserable than the knowledge that somebody in a sexual relationship doesn't want to be there. And part of it is like, you know, like Bill Maher.
They want to be there for the money.
They want to be there for the money. And if they're, but if they're excited to have the money, as opposed mm-hmm. to they're like, if I don't make this money, you know, my daughter won't be able to get
right.
leukemia medicine.
Well, that's when you have to put on an act and be a good actor and be like, I'm going to make work you it. Happy.
Work it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, do you think that like gay men misunderstand straight men in any ways or fundamental, or do straight men misunderstand us more?
I think straight guys don't really think about gay sex too much because they're too much thinking about pussy. And it's the guys that are like, you know, if they're thinking about gay sex a lot or they're really homophobic and like anti-gay, probably because they have some kind of homosexual feelings and they don't know how to deal with it.
Well, there have been done studies. They literally connected sensors to men's genitals
mm-hmm.
and then they showed them gay porn. Mm-hmm. And the guys who in the questionnaire before they did that, mm-hmm. I mean, talk about a kinky study. Mm-hmm. And where can I sign up for that? They were asking them like what they thought about gays mm-hmm. and homosexuality and political rights. Mm-hmm. And the most conservative, most anti-gay mm-hmm. guys who wrote in the forms were the ones that were aroused the most when they showed them the porn.
And isn't it like that Peter Barbera, who does that organization, Americans for the Truth About Homosexuality? Doesn't he have some kind of weird porn stash or something? Or
He allegedly has the largest collection of gay pornography in the Midwest.
Because he wants to examine it to see what exactly gay men do. I think maybe we should start sending some of those anti-gay politicians like Rick Santorum. Should we just start sending him like gay magazines and stuff?
I think the best way to deal with some of these people is just ignore them. Just yeah. ignore the hell out of them. And, you know, as Martha Stewart says about Sarah Palin, not only do I find her dangerous, I also find her very, very boring.
Mm.
That's a really insightful thing to say.
Yeah,
because, you know, part of the reason that they exist and they have careers is because we give them attention.
Right. Well, do you think Sarah Palin's going to go away now since the election? She's saying
Sarah Palin. I don't even know why Michelle Bachmann even has a career at this point. You know,
it's crazy eyes.
That's is it crazy. The eyes?
It's the crazy eyes.
I wonder how many people really are going to dress up like Michelle Bachmann for Halloween.
I think now that she wore that Navy outfit, I think she may have even worn that little Navy outfit on purpose just so people would be like, have something to mock on Halloween.
I mean, how many guys dressed up as Sarah Palin with that red dress and carried a rifle on Halloween? And I'm like, is that even legal? Can you even like carry something that looks like a rifle in the streets
well,
anymore?
Well, it wasn't a real rifle.
But fake. I mean, they were like, you know, with a bear head and they're like, lock and load.
Yeah, it was a good costume for a while. She's a horrible person.
What is up with Peter? This guy, a lot of people even know who he is and he's kind of like a non-person. But he's kind of like our local answer to one of those crazy people that stand on a street corner holding a sign that says God, you know, hates everybody.
Oh, and Peter LaBarbera.
Yeah, the world's going to end.
Americans for the Truth About Homosexuality, or his truth.
And I don't think any politicians are, he's very non-consequential, is he?
Well, he certainly is able to get some kind of attention. He's most recently gotten some attention because he invited Scott Lively. And Scott Lively is a guy that had spent a lot of time in Uganda and is a firm supporter of like the whole kill the gays bill over in Uganda. Yeah. And he just invited him to come speak to one of his classes. And so Peter gets like, you know, 10 people to show up. And so somebody through some kind of rock through Peter's window at the office, telling them to like shut down Lively. And then an email came from some kind of group, you know, a gay group or a gay person going and saying like, Peter Barbera is a jerk, you know, Scott Lively's got to be shut down, and, you know, it's, you know, gay rights, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. But the people are looking at this and they're thinking to themselves, well, this doesn't seem really right. So Timothy Kincaid from Box Turtle Bulletin kind of examined the language from the letter, and he's just like, you know, this language and these words are very much like things that Peter Barbera and, you know, homophobes.
It's Peter La Barbera, not Hanna Barbera.
Peter La Barbera and Scott Lively. It's like the kind of language that they use to describe like gay people and gay actions, or, you know, the hate groups, that kind of thing. Not the language that like gay rights people use. So what they think is that they sent this letter, they did this and then sent it out to the news media because they want to get like media attention.
They want to get sympathy.
They want to get sympathy. And they also want people to call and be like, oh, we support you, you know, that kind of mentality.
So in many ways, it's the same mentality that Michelle Bachmann has, that she becomes a voice for the conservative, fearful underdog.
Yes.
And just much like a dog that's scared, all it really does is bark, but there's very little substance behind what they're actually saying.
So we'll see. And so I wonder if, like, is there actually people out there that can, you know, that can look at two different people's sample of writing and compare them and be like, this, like a real professional can do it. Like, here's a guy who's a journalist and he was able to do it, but you could actually, you know, put science behind it and be like, yes, this person did write this letter.
There's science behind it. You know, I had a dream last night that my sister's new husband was related to Catherine
Deneuve.
No, Milgrew. Janeway.
Kate Mulgrew,
that he was like related to her. And so we were in the house and I was like, oh my God, you got to come on the podcast. We love you.
Mm. And she's like, why, Fausto, now we're family.
She's like my new Eartha Kitt. I fell in love with her when she was the captain of the Voyager. Mm-hmm. And then I fell in love with her all over again when I discovered on YouTube, when she was being interviewed at a Star Trek convention, how similar she is to the character that she played.
Yes, she is.
And that's a very unusual and rare thing, is that because in the past when Star Trek cast some of these actors, I would say that William Shatner is very unlike the character he played of Captain Kirk. Mm-hmm. And certainly Patrick Stewart has his own personality that doesn't really match Jean-Luc Picard. Yeah. But Janeway, Kate Mulgrew, seem to be very similar in the types of interest and the type of philosophy and even their mannerisms. And it's like hearing her being interviewed is like getting a extra Voyager episode.
Well, she said that's part of the reason why they hired her, because like she was like the character. She's like, they hired me because that's who I am. And I'm kind of all, in many ways, just kind of playing myself.
So I wonder if Zachary Quinto, when he was hired to reboot Star Trek to play Spock, was it because they think that Spock is a little bit gay because he's kind of in love with Captain Kirk?
But did they know he was gay at the time?
Everybody in Hollywood knows that Zachary Quinto is gay, and that was one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood.
But it's also I think that they accepted him as for being gay because, yes, part of it is they recognize that slash fiction fantasy kind of aspect of it.
Absolutely,
there's a lot of that Kirk Spock romance going on there. You know, and Christopher Pine, let's put out there that he's probably straight, but we don't know, and so it's okay to have like the gay secondary character, because Spock is really secondary to Captain, even though he's a fan favorite. But the other thing is, though, too, is I think that he kind of looks Vulcan. And so he got the part because he kind of looks the part. He kind of looks like he could be Leonard Nimoy's son.
And you look a little bit Vulcan, too. You know, like when the times that we've dressed up as Star Trek characters for Halloween, You wind up being the Vulcan, and I'm like the freak Andorian or something like that.
Because the Vulcans, they kind of try and make them look kind of Asian, so it's kind of easy for me to look a little. I am what Margaret Cho would call Asian adjacent. Like if I wore glasses, or if my hair is cut a certain way, you know, I could look a little Asian.
So it's basically white people who look Asian.
Yes.
And that's you get to be, you're Jewish, white person that looks Asian. Either way, you become Vulcan and very, very sexy. So Zachary Quinto just came out So he's no longer one of Hollywood's best or worst kept secrets. And he's saying that all the Star Trek fans have written to him and stopped him on the street and at the grocery store at the gay bathhouse and said how awesome it is that he came out and how much they support him.
They said they love him. He did an interview with StarTrek.com. So it's like official, StarTrek.com,
the official website for Star Trek.
He says, of all the people in the world, would you like to think that it's Star Trek fans who will be the most supporting? He said, I have been met with nothing but support from everyone in the past couple of days since I made the announcement. My Star Trek fans have always been incredibly supportive of everything that I've done, and I'm certainly glad to see that remains the case. I'm just really overwhelmed and grateful. And then, but he also...
you have to say it with a Vulcan accent, though.
Yeah.
I think it's... I am very grateful, Captain, for that opportunity.
You're just doing George Takei.
Well, George Takei is a little bit Vulcan. Mm-hmm. Even he... This is the weird thing. Like, when George Takei had his photo taken when he was here in Chicago for Gay Pride, he was doing the Vulcan thing.
No, he wasn't.
But he was doing, like, this weird variation.
Yes, because
like,
he didn't want to steal...
the trademark.
The trademark. So he did something a little different.
So he did his own... George Takei has his own...
Yes.
Vulcan thing. I'm thinking that it's the gay Star Trek character symbol.
He was doing like this or something like
he
that.
He was taking his index finger and his middle finger. It was kind of like a version of the shocker.
His middle fingers were together.
What's a shocker exactly?
The shocker is two in the stink, one in the pink. And that's the
when your ring finger's down.
That's what I do.
So you're going to have your middle finger and your index finger up touching each other. Mm-hmm. Your pinky up and your ring finger down, and so the big fingers go in the pink and the little one goes in the stink.
Yes, for that's
now
for,
George
that's
Takei,
this is what he did.
He did like he took his middle finger and his ring finger and combined them and then had the pinky and the index separated.
Yes,
so it was like a double Vulcan. It was like a W. If the V is the V for Vulcan with your hands, then he was making a W for whatever.
Well, they also asked him, is it time for a gay character in Star Trek? And he said, oh, I don't know the answer to that question. Not just for the sake of having one, but if there's a way to incorporate that aspect of our social structure in a creative, integrous way, then I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it. But I'm not a big fan of doing anything just for the sake of doing it. So I think there'd have to be a real undercurrent of purpose if that was the case. And I mean creatively, not just politically.
There would have to be an undercurrent of purpose. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, having a gay character on Star Trek would be illogical. Captain, live long and prosper. Oh my, it is kind of hard to do Vulcan without going into George Takei land.
You just get sucked into the George Takei what is it, the vortex. It was funny, George Takei, I'm friends with him on Facebook, or am I just a fan of his on Facebook?
No, I'm actually friends with George Takei and with his husband now, Brad Takei, from Brad Altman. He changed his last name legally.
He didn't.
Yes, ma'am. He is Brad Takei. He is of the Takei family.
You know,
Takei
they do that in Japan a lot. They adopt people when they're like, if you have like a business and you find somebody who's going to run the family business, like your CEO, you'll just adopt them into the family.
So George Takei, I beg George Takei, it's like, come on, give us an exclusive, give us a little taste.
He was busy.
And he was kind of busy that day. So he posted some cryptic thing about airing your dirty laundry on Twitter. But finally, Brad wrote to me and said that George would love to come back on the show for Christmas.
Really?
That's
Christmas
what he said. Christmas with the Takeis. And he said that he's very proud of Zach Kinto for joining me in the Out Trek family. Mm-hmm. No oh my. Just
no oh my.
No oh my. It's just he's happy and proud.
He posted this thing the other day on there. It was Occupy Arrakis for all the Dune fans. You're like, the spice must flow, but for all the peoples of the Empire and not to the House Harkonnen alone. So if you're a fan of Dune, you'll get it.
Otherwise, like,
Occupy Arrakis.
What's Dune? Is that movie that had a Sting in it?
The book's fantastic.
That had the guy from Showgirls.
That's probably
he played the what is he? He stuck his hand in something. Kyle MacLachlan. But he's in the movie, he sticks his hand in something and it chops it off.
Gom Jamar, I think it's called.
Yeah, about the spice. And so, that movie made no fucking sense.
It made a lot. You want me to explain it to you?
No.
So over time...
No!
I'll explain it for the listeners who don't know. So over time, they had these, you know, these they would mate these different houses of the Empire because they were trying to produce, like, this male witch, well, this one woman, she was told, you are not to have a male heir because we're not ready for that yet. But she went ahead and had a male heir anyway. And guess what? It turned out he was the male witch they had long been looking for.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yes.
Okay.
And so he freed the empire and subdued the emperor.
You know, sometimes science fiction.
And let the spice flow.
Sometimes these science fiction things sound like you're stoned and half asleep when they wrote it. Mm. You know, like, dude, okay, it's this planet full of spice and like there's this witch.
You don't even understand what you can do with spice, do you?
You can travel faster than time.
You can bend space.
That's right.
You know,
but it makes you look freaky and weird.
Yes, after consuming it for a long time. Yes,
but your eyes will look fabulous,
mm-hmm.
bright but blue.
You know those big giant worms, though, the ones that captained the ship.
Yes,
those were actually humans.
Ooh.
But they had been taking spice for so long and generations that they became
freaky.
To look like that. Yes, they actually bathed in spice.
You know, I know some people
right?
that do a lot of crystal meth, and they kind of want to put it like that. It's our, you know, because some people that are high on crystal meth, they'll say they can bend space too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're taping this show. We want you to join us on the website or on Facebook. You can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/feastoffun, or on the website. Today's show is made possible by the listeners who subscribe to Plus, but we're making this show available for free.
Free!
Woo! Hey, and some people are like writing and complaining. Oh my God, I can't afford this. I'm like living in a shoebox. I still have an iPod. I still have a computer. I still have DSL connection. But just paying for this is way too much. So this is what we're turning around to you guys. And we want to say to you, look, if it's either charging for it or stopping altogether. Mm-hmm. And we want to convert as much of our audience into paid subscribers as possible. Now, some of you may be living on disability. Some of you may be people who are in the closet still and are financially dependent on somebody else. Some of you are young people who would die if your parents found out mm-hmm. that you had given, you know, $9 a month to Feast of Fun. So what we'd like to do from you guys is to offer you scholarships. And so what this is that we want you to comment on the shows. Be part of the Feast of Fun army, the team.
The community.
And comment on the show, submit awesome stuff, participate and share the shows with people on social media, and we give you access. Now, it's not a free ride. It's an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We put you to work. That's why we call it a scholarship, honey.
You get if you give.
If you give. And if you don't give, then you can buy an account and upgrade.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Gabe? Actually, let me put you on here. What?
Oh, I think it's great. I just wanted to say, though, if I can, Fausto is in this comfortable Aeron chair with a mess back and a padded bottom, and me and Mark are in wooden chairs with no arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they can use the money to get Mark.
Do you know
a
why? Okay, let me explain to this. Everybody asks this question.
Okay.
Why do I have the nicer chair mm-hmm. and everybody else gets a shitty chair? And the answer to that is because after we're done taping the show, I spend another hour and a half in the same chair in the same area, editing and rendering the show and working. And actually, I didn't, because I'm kind of like an egalitarian and I wanted everybody to have the same kind of chairs. I used to use the same kind of chairs you were sitting, and my back started hurting so much.
It's a dining room chair. It's not something,
that I couldn't do this. And I just like, I said, okay, it's either, you know, get a better chair. And this is actually not an Aeron chair. This is one of those like cheap office store copycat mm-hmm. chairs.
The arms fell off it too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we took off the arms, mm-hmm. but the arms fell off of it. And it's like, it was either this or stop podcasting.
And also it also needs to swivel between two computers. Whereas I just have to sit here for an hour and then I get up and walk away.
Mark's the brains and the beauty of the show, but mm-hmm. I'm the engine and the muscle.
But yes, I am happy with my subscription. I'm enjoying the shows.
Awesome. And have you had any problems like figuring out the RSS feed or doing anything like that?
I haven't, no. Okay.
So one thing I'm going to tell people who are, the best way to access a show through the private RSS feed that you get, you can access that through feastoffun.com/plus. You have to log in and have your account upgraded. We recommend that you set up a Feast of Fun account first mm-hmm. and then you upgrade that. And don't go through the Facebook Connect just yet. Create the account and then you sync it, because that's mm-hmm. how it works best. You take that private RSS feed that's unique to you, and you can open that up in iTunes in the advanced menu, subscribe to podcast, and then you sync that with your MP3 player, or your iPhone, or your iPod. Now, some of you guys don't ever sync up your iPhone, iPod, iPod Touch with your computers at all, and you want to continue downloading the free shows. What I recommend then is to find a third-party RSS feed reader that you can paste your long series of characters into it and download it that way, or just open that unique RSS feed in Safari for your iPod, iPhone, iPod Touch, and you can access the show directly through there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the best solution. Now, if enough people actually subscribe financially, what we'd like to do in the near future is offer an Android and an iPhone app where they can access the shows for free. I mean, sorry, the access the free shows mm-hmm. and the shows that they've actually paid to subscribe to.
Sure. And so when you log in, when you go to set up your account, you log in, create an account, and then go to the plus section, pick what it is you want, and then that will take you to PayPal to set up your subscription. But then also, too, right after you've set up your subscription, it should take you back to Feast of Fun, and then there's a little thing that you have to kind of fill out to just, you know, to verify to complete your subscription, because otherwise you'll have an unverified account, and then I'll email you and I'll say, hey, just click on this link and fill this out, and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah, and really, this is the best way you can support the mm-hmm. podcast. Even the crappiest, worst music that you'll find on iTunes is, you know, 69 cents. On this show, we offer, if you're basically paying a Plus account, you're getting it for less than 69 cents if you buy the full year per episode. Somebody was like, you should sell each episode separately on iTunes. And we actually looked into that and we were like, well, this is ridiculous. Why nickel and dime the audience? Why make it inconvenient? Just have them do one fee mm-hmm. for the year.
Yeah.
That's not averages to $9 a month. Mm-hmm. That's less than 69 cents a show. That's like about 40 cents a show.
And I have to say, it's probably 90% of the people are just buying the year out straight.
Yeah. And it's so convenient for people. It's convenient for mm-hmm. us, because then we can actually use some of this money to build and develop the website and pay off debt. And, you know, our internet service costs, the memory usage of the site is so intense that it's costing us between $1,500 and $2,000 a month just to keep the site running. And so it became ridiculous. It was a situation we either had to stop or offer a subscription. And this idea came from our listeners, and our listeners have always supported us and came up with really amazing ideas. We also want to hear from you. We want to hear feedback from you. We don't want to turn anybody away. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to feel like, now that we've gone to Plus or subscription, that you feel like you're shut out. That is definitely not what I want to do, because I enjoy doing this and I enjoy talking to all you guys. And I hope that you enjoy the shows that we do, and we want to stay friends and stay together. So write to us, communicate with us, let us help you gain access to all of it mm-hmm. somehow.
Somehow.
We'll go over there, and Mark is amazing with tap dancing and singing, and he'll help you have a bake sale. Right.
And if anybody has
any money,
and don't, you know, if you have any kind of tech support questions, just feel free to email. I don't care if we have to, it takes us 20 emails to get through it. We're going to get through it, because some people are like, I'm not tech savvy. It's like, you don't even have to tell me you're not tech savvy. I already know you're not tech savvy.
No, but it's like some kidding. Of the listeners, like, kidding. I actually took over their computer mm-hmm. using a dot Mac, was it a iChat? Mm-hmm. And I literally copied and pasted their RSS feed into their iTunes and subscribed it for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, that's the capability. And we can do a screen share. We can do stuff. You know, we're here for you people. So let's take some of the questions and comments that are coming in from Facebook. Eric Sean Daly, poor Lindsay Lohan.
Man, I think she got arrested or something.
She's now probably going to be doing jail time.
For what? Drinking
for
and driving?
For violating her parole. Because she wasn't showing up for her community service. And they were just like sick of dealing with her. And then, you know, it shouldn't be a crime to have your teeth all cracked out and messed mm-hmm. up and have your hands look like you were digging through the garbage. But her hands, I don't know. It's like, will somebody submit something else that's not so disturbing on the site? So it's literally been sitting there as the hit of the week all week long.
I know. Well, it should be gone soon, right?
It should be. It's just... everybody's dying to see those photos and they feel so sorry for Lindsay Lohan. I mean, here's a sign of somebody who's obviously having mental issues. And I just, I can't laugh at that anymore.
Childhood actors.
I don't know if it's childhood actors. Is it people that just have, you know, bad parents or they had very little education and they became international sensations at a very young age?
Or is it easier to get more press as a fuck up than it is as a normal person?
Maybe they're rewarded because they're, you know, maybe Lindsay Lohan literally took a candy bar and just rubbed it into her teeth just to get attention. I'm hoping that's what it is.
Blair Slavin writes, any online podcasting seminars in the works? Also, it's faster going to stay blonde for a while.
I was blonde for about 15 minutes after we were done with that video.
That gold hairspray, and it worked really well.
It looked great on camera in person. It made your hair look like some nasty, scary straw.
It didn't look that bad. It did not look that bad.
Do you think it was kind of a turn on?
I actually, like, when I put it, because I put it on my hair, and then we went out with Brian for lunch or for dinner, and I was just like, I liked it. I was like, this is a new fashion look for me.
Yeah, if I move over hairspray, blonde hairspray.
Well, it's because it's kind of golden, but I think that it's also, too, it's really improved over the years. And we went to the wig shop. You know, and we got that kind of
it's for
stuff.
The African-American ladies who want to have a little blonde sensation.
Any online podcasting seminars in the works? I don't know what that really means.
He wants to know, like, what some insights or ideas on how we do the show and make it exclusively available for the Feast of Fun Plus listeners. Absolutely, baby. We are I'm working on right now. Let's see. We're working on Rumpelstiltskin with Devin Green in the works. We're gonna kick up the video blog again. We have three fantastic how to make cocktails videos, and the old Faustina cable access shows are also going to be up there. Although I gave all the cassette tapes to a friend of ours to transfer to digitally, and I haven't heard back from him. I'm worried that they lost them or they got erased. So I'm like, my heart is like stopping and beating about
it. Touch, but hey, Kyle, how's it going? What's happening?
I've been like, you know, texting him and writing to him, and he doesn't write me back.
Oh, he's done. They were lost in a fire. Wow. Matthew Iconin
says, really,
says,
really horrible thing to say, but it's like, I almost don't even want to bring it up because it's like, it's so depressing.
I'm sure they're going to be fine.
I mean, I entrusted this friend.
It's Northwestern University, for God's sakes.
You think so? Fine. You know,
Matthew Iconin said, you said say anything. So where's the love? The love is in your heart and you have to give love to get love. And he says, lol, I'm signing up for FOF Plus in about a week. Yay,
Matthew. Brent Perotti just met the Yarn Harlot. So excited.
I do not know of this Yarn Harlot, but I'm sure that she is fabulous.
Sudirwan Juhaimi, are you getting the iPhone 4S? Man, that iPhone 4S is amazing. Although, some people have been reporting that Siri doesn't work as well as they were expecting it to. But this is new technology, so it's a little bit, you know, it's kind of...
We'll see. Jesus Valiente says, do you guys have any opinion either way about the Occupy Wall Street movement? And Jesus, I'm going to blow up your picture because you look like you're cute. But
he
I
is
can't
cute.
Say, and he's cute, and he looks like he could be Jesus.
I like it when guys named Jesus look like Jesus.
Yes. Does he not look like, if he grew his hair a little longer?
You got to grow out your hair long. He lives in I'm just a little farm girl from Amarillo.
Lives in Amarillo.
Amarillo, Texas. I know, but I like saying Amarillo. He studied psychology at Texas A&M, which is becoming more liberal as the years go by.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be a very conservative college when I went to UT, but now because they had this terrible accident, I think it was at UT or at A&M. The rivalry between the two schools is kind of gone now. And now they're just academic institutions.
Huh. Was I talking on the podcast the other day about how I had a dream about Cassandra Fever being like Charles Manson's love child or something?
Well, Christian Grenier, the man behind Cassandra Fever, he looks a little bit like, I mean, he's really hot.
He's super hot. He's model hot.
He's like, you know, he's CW hot. If that even means anything to anybody. You know, like, he's Smallville hot. You know, he could be an extra on Smallville. And he also is really hot in drag as the world's most famous Elvira impersonator. And so Mark said, he kind of reminds me of Charles Manson when Charles Manson was hot. And I guess he kind of liked that because he posted his photo on your Facebook profile and said what?
He said, it's a Charles Manson looking crazy as an old man saying, it's like looking in a mirror. So he's really being kind of facetious. But it wasn't so much that he looked like him. I think there was just something about like Charles when he was younger about the brow bone or something like that. And I thought that
has that like sexy brow bone.
But like maybe like my mind was just, because that was a dream state. So my dream was I was probably thinking about, you know, Cassandra Fever and Elvira. And Elvira told us before that her first initial costume idea for Elvira was something that Sharon Tate wore in The Fearless Vampire Hunters. And Sharon Tate was, of course, murdered by the Manson family. So in my mind, it probably just all got jumbled.
And you're a big fan of all this stuff.
I love it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're big fans of Cassandra Fever and she's big fans of us. So it's like, you know, are we secretly in love with each other?
Christian's going, what,
Fausto? Oh, please stop hitting on me, Fausto.
Speaking of spooky drag
queens. Wait. Before you go on, Jesus asked us about the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm all for it.
I think there's a lot of confusion on what this movement is about. And let's be real clear. It's about getting corporations out of our political system because only individuals, not corporations, foreign-owned corporations can donate unlimited amounts of money to politicians. So foreign banks can control what politicians do in this country.
They can buy the White House.
They can buy the White House. They can buy the Congress. And that if you're an American and you live in this country, that should scare the shit out of you. And those people occupying Wall Street, I would say they have a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas. I think that's the central theme right there. They want to turn to their government and say, you were wrong in this Supreme Court decision, and this needs to be repealed. This is crazy.
We need a constitutional amendment.
We need a constitutional amendment to prohibit corporations, foreign-owned corporations. I mean, this is like, you know, instead of declaring war in the United States, what another country can do is just pay to elect politicians to bring it down from inside. It's crazy.
Mm.
And so, you know, I mean, just it's just a wrong direction that this country is going in. Most politicians feel helpless. And so the public needs to go occupy Wall Street everywhere and say, we need to bring about change. And this type of change we really need. We're not asking for a handout. We're not lazy people. I think they're being mischaracterized by a lot of people as being, you know, we want more welfare. We don't want to work. Mm-hmm. We want to be as lazy as the rich people. No, it's about equality. It's about gaining access to our political system and keeping jerks and douchebags out of it.
And Obama said, push me, push me, push me. So people are pushing.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, even the police are starting to turn around and support these people. It's like, you know, I think this movement's not going away, and it's, if anything, it's growing.
Mm.
And so I'm really glad to see that more and more people are getting involved and that they're making videos and they're starting a website, and there's a lot of like awesome stuff about it. So it's really an enormous movement, and it's a little bit overwhelming just to try to like capture it all.
Mm.
So I'm like all for it.
We should go down and occupy Chicago one of these days.
I just hate going downtown. Let's go to the weekend. Let's go have brunch. Then we'll have some mimosas, and then we'll occupy Wall Street in Chicago.
And speaking, I wanted to do a quick shout out to Max Turkey in Switzerland, who got to hang out with Peaches Christ.
Is it Turkey or Turchi?
Turchi, I think is what I said, right? Turkey.
You said Turkey.
Turkey.
Well, let's call him Max Turkey.
Max Turki.
I like Max Turki.
He's
Turki.
Italian, but he lives in Switzerland.
Turci.
He got to meet up with Peaches, and I think they were going to go out and have some lunch. So hopefully, you know, you never know. But now I don't know how well it went, because now I see on Feast of Fun that he's hitting on Brian Heckler. So
listen, why have chicken when you can have steak?
Which one's the chicken and which one's the steak?
Peaches, you tell me.
I love our friendship with her. She just It's just adorable.
Peaches, man, hey, Coco Peru. Of
scary lesbians.
Love these girls.
Scary things for Halloween. They are just uncovered in Modena, Italy, a pair of female skeletons over 15,000 years old that were buried together, and they were holding hands, and one's looking at the other one in like this kind of loving look. And so I think they're lesbians. Now, some people are saying they could be sisters or just good friends. I'm just like, would you want to be buried with your sister holding her hand?
Your roommate?
You know, forget about it.
I know some siblings are very close and they're kind of like husband, wife, or, you know, gay lovers or lesbians.
But why can't they be lesbians?
Maybe they're both.
I want to believe. You'll see it all, like the title, like you'll see it, it's all over the internet. It's Bonio and Juliet. And you're kind of like, and it's not until like the end of the paragraph that you, or the end of the article, that you realize that they're both women. And so it was just like, the fact that they were lesbians was buried deeper than the actual grave.
And you posted that on different forums, even gay-friendly forums.
Oh, the
And the
haters.
Gay people oh. are hating on you.
Oh my God, they're mad.
They're like, well, that's scientifically inaccurate. And I was like, exactly how is it scientifically inaccurate? The
know.
Gender of both skeletons was
know.
Female. And the journalists are trying to pay their bills. And they say lesbian skeletons found, mm-hmm. although it might be hyperbole.
Yeah.
It's what's the most, you know, in archaeology, yes. I had a teacher, my archaeology teacher in college said, we really don't ever know the answer to most of these conclusions we reach.
Mm-hmm.
We reach these conclusions because based on the information we've collected, this is the most reasonable explanation. Mm-hmm. And to say that those two skeletons were female lovers is the most reasonable explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a problem right now, and I just want to talk about this for a second.
Uh-oh.
In academia right now in this country, there's a lot of young people coming out of college, not all of them, but enough to make a very vocal majority sometimes that they feel like they know the answer to everything, and their single purpose in life is to tear apart everyone and anything that they see.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers the hell out of me because I read their blogs and I participate in their community forums, and there's just so much negativity, and it worries me. You know, it's like, I know the kids are all right and all these awesome people are going, but their voices are being drowned out by a small collective of very loud people that all they want to do is to nitpick and pull apart every single thing that comes out.
Did you just get on the internet today? This is the problem with the internet since it started.
As a whole,
this is reading, like, it's the same as like graffiti on the bathroom stall, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
But see, a lot of these people like are coming from using the language, mm-hmm. and boasting and bragging about their academic credentials.
They'll get tired. Wear the bastards down with your pot. Kill them with kindness.
And to me, it bothers me because I'm a person who comes from academia and I taught in college levels, and I wanted people to be inclusive. I wanted people to ask questions and start a conversation. And a lot of these individuals are not interested in providing feedback or thought-provoking discussions with each other. All they're wanting to do is to point out how somebody is wrong, mm-hmm. and make themselves feel better by being Little Miss Know-It-All.
It's like you got to vilify somebody so you feel better about yourself.
But, you know, why vilify anybody? Why not reach out and say, let's have a discussion about this?
Because they get stuck in this mechanism. It's like a cycle. They get into it and they can't get out of it. They don't see an alternative. Like Oprah likes to say, when you know better, you do better. Yes, but we've been watching Oprah's life class, and you know what I've discovered about Oprah? I think she had a lot of anal sex in her 20s. I think that she gave up that booty a lot.
Yeah, she was talking about
how these men just ruled her life, and she did anything for them, and I'm just like, she did some butt fucking.
I was looking at some of the footage back when she was on AM Chicago, and she looked like a party girl.
Mm.
And it was maybe like dating Roger Ebert, who's, you know, let's say he's a steady, slow, and, you know, he's a homebody, mm. you know? He's a bear. He's a lovable, huggable guy. And it's like, he kind of like said to her, baby, you're partying too hard. In many ways, the Oprah Winfrey that we have today, we owe to her wisdom and to her experience, mm-hmm. but also to a young Roger Ebert, who gave her a little...
And Maya Angelou. Who taught her why the cage bird sings.
And Maya Angelou, like, she just kept gushing, and she talked about going to Maya Angelou's house for dinner, mm-hmm. and then she sat on her feet, near her feet, and Maya Angelou spent hours reading her poetry.
I mean, that's a lesbian date right there.
I don't know what else... Well, it's a non-sexual, mm-hmm. female intense relationship.
So I'm excited to see the movie Magic Mike when it comes out. So it's a Steven Soderbergh film. It's starring Channing Tatum, and he's going to be teaching Alex Pettifer how to strip. And it's filled with all these Hollywood hunks, you know, Channing Tatum, Alex Pettifer, that Joe Mangiano, whatever, from True Blood. But it's also going to have Matt Bomer, you know, who everybody thinks is kind of gay, from White Collar. And I guess he had a wardrobe problem. He's quoted as saying, "I'd never worn a thong before, so the first time I tried it, I put it on wrong, and my junk didn't fit in it. I had to call a wardrobe person in and go, 'Something's wrong with my thong, guys. I think we're going to have to figure this out.' And they're like, 'Oh, yeah, your legs are on the wrong holes, or in the wrong holes.'" So I guess he tried it on backwards or something, and he's just like, "Why is this little strip not working?"
Honey, all you got to do is Google Matt Bomer gay, and even on Google Image, even though his publicist has been like trying to squash down all these images, mm-hmm. you can't stop the beat. Mm-hmm. And those sexy, sexy photos of Matt Bomer and his boyfriend at the time are all over the internet.
Well, I think he's like very public about saying that he has like two children, because he lives with a gentleman and they have two children together.
Man, Matt Bomer is fucking hot. I gotta tell you. Oh God,
he's gorgeous. Well, that's the exact type I like. I like these guys with these dark hair and the white skin and the light eyes. He's absolutely gorgeous.
Like
now,
me.
Let's talk about Megan Mullally from Will and Grace.
Hold on a second.
We gave her so much hell. For
poor
doing, what
Megan.
Is it, that I can't believe it's not butter ads? Is that what it is?
It was really annoying. It was geared towards gay men, because even women discovered that eating margarine is not necessarily the best thing for your health and might run the risks of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So they turned around to gay men who...
and said, "We'll kill you instead.
We'll kill you instead." And so they hired Megan Mullally to do these annoying turn the tub around instead mm-hmm. of turn the beat around.
Oh, that's it. Turn the tub around. I can't believe...
Let's talk about nutrition. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
And they play that commercial nonstop 24 hours a day on certain cable channels.
There was a dance channel and that all day long.
So they played the commercial mm-hmm. and then they would play the karaoke version of the ad mm-hmm. because singing along was so much fun to those lyrics.
But then before that, she did those M&M ads. And now that I've just saw on the internet that she was doing like a McDonald's Big Mac commercials like in 1983. This woman has been hawking junk food for almost 30 years.
And from the looks of it, it looks like she's been eating it too.
Well, I think she's a little healthier now, but there was a time, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If you become a spokesperson for some of these products,
you should be forced to eat it.
You should, yeah.
I got to say, though, you know, I've been doing my gluten-free diet. So far, I think I'm about 15 pounds lighter than my heaviest. And my old roommate, Josh, he came for a visit recently, and he gained some weight. And I'm like, dude, try going gluten-free, because like his problems that he was having sounded very much like my problems. And this is just like about a month and a half maybe he came to visit. And so since then, he says he's like lost 17 pounds. I think a lot of that was just like maybe he was backed up or something like that, because that seems like an awful lot to lose in a month. But he's just like, "I feel better. I feel wonderful." He's like, "One day I had one slice of pizza and it ruined me." So
I was gassy all day long. Oy vey.
But the thing is, like, I recommend it to everybody. Not everybody, but he was doing research on it. He said people that whose family have any kind of like alcoholism or diabetes, that they may have a gluten insensitivity. So if you have any of that in your family and maybe you have problems with your weight, try that.
Well, my family loves the booze and they love the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So maybe you should not have that order of French toast at brunch.
I guess I won't be having it. So we are done with today's show. Thank you so much for all your support, people. And we actually want to hear your stories, your ideas, mm-hmm. you know. Are you a bigot because you're only attracted to a single body type and race? Mm-hmm. How do we fight prejudice and mm-hmm. intolerance? Is it good to make people? Is it a bad idea to make people ashamed about their sexual preferences and desires? Isn't there a better way to have this type of conversation? Why do straight men have gay sex from time to time? And if you're a heterosexual identifying man who likes this show, we salute you.
And how can I find a picture of Matt Bomer's junk?
You know, I have a feeling. Junk. I just have a feeling that we're kind of destined to have sex with Matt Bomer one day.
It'll happen. It'll happen. I want to wish everybody a great weekend, and subscribe to Plus. We can't do it without you.
We're gonna leave you here with the song that is inspired by Carol Ann's famous line in the movie Poltergeist. They're here.
Awesome.
The song is "They're Here" by the Esoteric Gender, their album Prelude. It's a crappy album cover, but the album is full of great music. Highly recommended. Get the entire album on our website, feastoffun.com. And that's what we're playing for you. They're here. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. That you woke up from, all the fears that you've been running from, a hit to greet you in your newfound land, the ones you thought you left are holding your hand. The last one in the